So we should believe in.
Amen.
Don't you enjoy singing? Amen. Probably the thing I enjoy the most in every summer school of truth is singing.
Amen.
The first time I joined as a serving one was because I really have the burden for the young people. And my children, which were there, that time they were in sixth grade. They are in 10th grade now. And I came because I have the burden for them. But I enjoy singing so much that I kept on coming. Oh, because singing with you, brothers and sisters, is just so wonderful.
Amen.
It makes me living. It makes me exercise the life that I have within. And we all have this life, God's life. But it requires a cooperation. Sometimes everybody is enjoying and maybe I am there not enjoying so much. It requires a cooperation. The mind set on the spirit.
Amen.
There is a hymn that says, set your mind on the things which are above.
Amen.
That is actually a verse in Colossians 3. Can we sing that song? It's song 35. Dear young people, the entire Christian life depends on this. Set your mind on the things which are above.
Amen.
Is anyone on the piano? They're gone? Okay, well, we have an instrument ready. Can we declare it? Ready, set, go. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you die and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you die and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For you die, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you die, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. The things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you die and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you die and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For you die, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you die and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. Let us set our mind on the Spirit.
Amen.
Set your mind on the things which are above. Okay, first of all, my name is Brother Osmar. I meet with the church in New York City, the district of Jamaica, Queens. Some of you probably know that place, the meeting hall at Jamaica, Queens, New York City. How many of you have been there? Okay, that is my home. Yes, I know many of you from there. And I know so many other of you that have come for conferences and the church life. But mainly because I serve with high schoolers, I don't know all the faces. But I am so happy to see new faces.
Amen.
Can I have the sixth graders raise your hand? The sixth graders. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Welcome. Well, we are on outline 6, the sense of life. Outline 6, so have your outline ready, open, on page 11, where you find the outline number 6. The title is The Sense of Life. The subject of the entire School of Truth is knowing and experiencing life. And the sense of life is crucial to know it, understand it, and experience it. So this message is about the sense of life. But before I talk about that, I want to tell you a little story. But that story is not just a personal story. It's a story that is in the Bible. And the one telling that story is Luke, the disciple. And this is the second time he's telling a story. The first time he told story is called the Gospel of Luke. But here he's writing a second story, and that story is called the Book of, anybody knows? The Book of Acts. Do you know that there is such a book in the Bible called the Book of Acts? How many of you know where the Book of Acts is? Is it in the Old Testament or the New Testament? The New Testament. Where in the New Testament? Towards the end, towards the beginning? Right after the Gospels, right? Yes, that's the Book of Acts. So Luke is telling a story, and when he tells that story, he refers to his first story as my former account, my former story, my previous story. And he says, in my previous story, I told you about this name, this man named Jesus, God becoming in the flesh, and all the things that he teaches and did. And now in this new story, I'm going to tell you more after he was taken up. So if you can open your Bible or New Testament on the Book of Acts, let's read that story, or at least the beginning of that story. And Luke was writing these two stories, the story told in the Gospel of Luke and the second story told in the Book of Acts, to the same person. And that person's name is a name probably not very common, Theophilus. That was the receiver of that, of those two stories. And Theophilus, is anybody here named Theophilus? No one? It's probably a not very common name, right? Well, it's a Greek name, but it has a wonderful meaning. It means loved by God, or it means friend of God. It's a wonderful name, Theophilus. So are you there already? Book of Acts, chapter 1. We're going to read verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. Are we there? If you don't have a Bible with you, just get next to someone who has one. And let's read together, slow, well pronounced, and waiting for each other. Book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. Ready, set, go. The former account I have made, O Theophilus, concerning all the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day on which he was taken up, after he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he chose, to whom also he presented himself alive after suffering many irrefutable proofs, appearing to them through a period of 40 days, and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. So what did we just read? Sometimes it's good to pause and kind of have that dialogue, what I just read. So we read of the former story he told in the book of Luke about the Lord Jesus until the day he was taken up, meaning after he resurrected and after he ascended. In other words, the Lord Jesus was no longer with the disciples. Before, it was the disciples with the Lord Jesus. Wherever the Lord Jesus went, the disciples went with him. Wherever you will find the Lord, the disciples were with him. But this time, the Lord Jesus is no longer with them. He already ascended. And now the second story is about what happened. Actually, the entire name of the book is the Acts of the Apostles, because the Lord Jesus was no longer with them physically, but the Lord Jesus was with them in an invisible way, in an invisible presence. And it speaks that the Lord was appearing to them for a period of 40 days. If you read the notes of the recovery version of the Bible, it explains that the Lord was training the disciples, training them to get used to his invisible presence. So they were so used to be with the Lord. Oh, when the Lord was there, they were happy. When the Lord was there, they were shepherd. They will feel secure. They will feel safe. Oh, the Lord is here. But now that the Lord was no longer with them, oh, some of them were discouraged. Some of them was actually going back to their old way of life. So the Lord had to appear to them for a period of 40 days. He will appear to them, talk to them, and disappear. And then later again, just come back to them to train them to get to use to his invisible presence. And this is the history of the Christians. After that, this is the first century until today. This is what we have practiced, to enjoy the invisible presence of the Lord. So this relates to us very much, because we do not have the physical Jesus that walked with the disciples in Galilee, but we have the Spirit, whom is the Lord Jesus, in our spirit. And through regeneration, as we learned last night, we have him in our spirit as life. Amen. Hallelujah, we have a new life. Amen. And I enjoy that many of you share that we also have a new spirit and a new heart. Right. And we must exercise this new spirit and new heart to contact the Lord, amen, to live our lives in the presence of the Lord, in his invisible presence. So this training that the disciples received from the Lord was very good, because then they learned to live in another way in the life of the Lord without the Lord physically being there, which is exactly our case. And later, just a little later on verse 14, you don't have to go there, I will read it for you. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14. You don't have to go there. I will read it. It says, "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and spoke forth to them." So Peter, this is the same one who was fleeing when the Lord Jesus was arrested. He was fleeing away. He was afraid. He even denied the Lord Jesus 3 times. But here he's standing up and speaking firmly and with boldness the word of God. So something happened to them. And he was obeying the leading of this life inwardly. So something within him was moving him to stand up and speak. And that is that new life that he had received, just as we have received it. But I like this case, because what was happening here is something really remarkable. There was people from all over the place in that area of the world. People from Samaria, from Judea, people even from Egypt and from many provinces of Rome and Greek. And the disciples were all filled with the Spirit. And they were speaking the works of God, the wonders of God to them in their own language. So everybody was surprised, like, what happened to them? They were very, very surprised. That was a wonder. So some of them started to say, oh, that is because they are drunk. They are filled with wine. And then Peter stand up with the 11 and lifted up his voice and spoke. If you read the whole account, he explained them, no, it's not that they are drunk. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Prophet Joel, that he says that in the later days, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit, amen, upon all flesh. Amen. This is the fulfillment. Right. And even he said, in that prophecy, he quoted there, he said, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Have you called on the name of the Lord today?
Yes.
Amen. We are being saved every time we call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So this prophecy was being fulfilled there for the first time. And everybody was very surprised. So Peter had the boldness to speak the word of God because this inward moving of the Spirit within him. There was something inwardly that was moving within him that makes him stand up, not being afraid, and speak with boldness the word of God. So this inward moving of the life of God that we have received, it has a name, and in the Bible, especially the Apostle John, in 1 John, it gives a name to this moving, this inward moving of the Spirit. And this morning, Brother Israel, help us to fix a verse that speaks of that. You remember? 1 John 2:27. I fixed it just as he said with small letters because it didn't fit. Did you fix that verse? So the Apostle John speaks of this inward moving of the Spirit, this inward operation of the life of God within. He gives a name to it. How does he call it? The anointing. The anointing. Well, this message is not on the anointing, so we will not explain everything that has to do with that anointing, that you will learn that later. But my point is that there is something inwardly moving. The life of God. And this verse at the end, the part that we fix, it says, His anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true.
Amen.
We're not making it up. It is true.
Amen.
This is the word of God, and it tells us that this life, the Spirit within us, moves and operates and teaches us concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And even as He has taught you, abide in Him.
Amen.
So my point is that there is something inwardly moving, and that is the life of God.
Amen.
And this life has a sense, that feeling inwardly, we call it the sense of life.
Amen.
And that sense of life is what we're talking about in this message. Sense is very, very crucial that we learn to identify this sense of life. Not only to identify it and know it, but to obey it and to live by this sense of life. So let me read in the lesson book. By the way, if you have not get this book yet, I encourage you to get it. All of these lessons are further developed there, and as every part of the ministry is just so rich and so nourishing. So let me just read a little bit about the sense of life, just a short paragraph. It says, the sense of life. Every kind of life has sense. This is the page 47. Page 47 on lesson 7 on the lesson book. And I'm going to read just the first paragraph. The sense of life. Every kind of life has sense. After a baby is born, immediately he has the sense of human life. Although his senses may not be strong, nevertheless, he begins to have and is developing these senses, such as feeling, hearing, seeing, etc. So when a baby is born, immediately he has the senses of a human life. The same way when we were born of God, but through regeneration, this life has a sense. But this sense may not be very strong, may not be greatly developed, because we are just saved. And through our years of practicing, this sense of life should be developed, just like the senses on the baby are developed. Let's think for a moment, for example, on the feelings of the hand, the feeling of the hands. You know, with the hands, you can tell the texture of something or how hard something is. Even the shape, without looking with your hands, you can tell. But this is because you have developed those senses. A baby does not have those senses yet. It has very, very little. That sense needs to be developed. And I read this, that is the reason why babies take things and put them in their mouth. because in their mouth they have a greater capacity to feel the texture and to know things, to know the world. So as they learn later, develop the sense to be able to touch and to manage, they don't do that anymore. That's remarkable, right? But even if we see student in college, an artist, and doing a wonderful piece of art, all the motor skills in the hand were already developed to the point that he's able to create a masterpiece. But a baby Dean was not able to do that. That comes from developing, as you exercise and develop the senses. So the same is with the divine life we have received. Have you received divine life within you?
Amen.
Amen. You are regenerated.
Amen.
If you are regenerated, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, we have received a new gene within us. That is the gene of God.
Amen.
Oh, and this gene of God produces a sense inwardly. And that sense, we need to develop it and know it. So here is what my burden is, that in order for us to live the Christian life, in order for us, the title of the Summer School of Truth, know and experience life, we need to do three things. This is my burden. The most important thing I'm going to say is this, three things. First, I need you to write what is the definition of the sense of life. According to the ministry, we have a really short and nice definition. Can you write this down next to the title? The sense of life is, the sense of life is the inward sense of the Spirit. So it's not my sense. It's the sense of the Spirit within me. Again, the sense of life is the inward sense of the Spirit. And this is crucial to live our Christian life. So in order for us to know and experience life, meaning to know God and experience God, we need to do these three things about the sense of life. Number one, to know the sense of life. So right, number one, to know the sense of life. To know it. Number two, to develop the sense of life. Number two, to develop the sense of life. We will explain each of those in a practical way. And number three, to live by the sense of life. To live by the sense of life. So first, to know the sense of life, that means to identify it, to be aware of it, to recognize it, to be able to read it, to be able to sense it. So as we grow in life, this sense of life may be not very strong. So when you have, you're listening to the hymns, for example, and the volume is very, very low, or in school your teacher is speaking very, very, with a very low voice, so it requires much, much more attention, right? Otherwise, you won't be able to hear it. So we may be at that stage in which it requires much, much, much attention. To pay attention to that sense of life. To recognize it. Once we recognize it, then we can know it. To then obey it. So to know it is to identify it. To sense it, to recognize it. And it requires attention. So the key word there, to know it, is to pay attention to this sense of life inwardly. To ask yourself before the Lord, Lord, how do you feel about this? Lord, should I go this way or that way? Lord, should I say it or should I not say it? Or just like Peter, Peter probably was sitting because he says that standing with the 11, I believe he was sitting. But something inwardly told him, get up and speak. And he did. So maybe sometimes even in the meetings, we have that sense of life in there telling you, a little pump in there telling you, get up and speak. Haven't you experienced that during this Summer School of Truth?
Amen.
This is true, and it's not a lie.
Amen.
It is true. The sense of light tells us. And then it's up to us whether we obey it or not. We got the feeling, but Well, praise the Lord, Peter obeyed. That's why we have those verses in the Bible. But you need to obey it too and speak the word of God. But that is only one example. There are many things in our daily life, in school, at home, in your neighborhood, with your friends. What do we say? What do we do? What places do we go? In order for me to know if I am one with God or not, the only way to know is the sense of life. So I need to pay attention to the sense of life, to consider what the Lord is saying within me. What is the feeling? What is the sense of life inwardly? That is to know the sense of life, for which we need to pay attention to it. Number two, to develop the sense of life. Amen. So praise the Lord, this sense of life grows and gets stronger. But not by itself, is by obeying it. Amen. When you obey the sense of life, this sense of life gets stronger.
Amen.
You want to be sure if that's the feeling of the Lord? Obey the sense of life. Amen. You want this sense of life to get stronger within you? Obey the sense of life. It begins by paying attention to it so that we know the sense of life. But then when we obey this sense of life, it develops. So the key word to develop the sense of life within us is to obey it. And number three is to live by the sense of life. So we automatically live our own our way. We have to completely have to learn everything again. Learn to speak. Learn to study. Learn to walk. Learn to live. Everything new, because we have a new spirit. We have a new heart because we have a new life within. And we want to live by this life. And the way to know is by following the sense of life within us. And that will cause us to live the life of the Lord. That will be allowing the Lord to live through us. So praise the Lord, we can live by the sense of life. Okay, In the Bible, we read about the sense of life specifically in two places. One is Romans 8:6. Can we go to that verse? Romans 8:6. This is one of your memory verses. Probably some of you already memorized it, so you can say it with me. Are you there? Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Ready, set, go. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. So this feeling of life and peace gives us the okay. Do I have peace to say this? Amen. That's the green light. I say it. Do I have peace to go and do this? Then that's the green light to do it. This is the feeling within, and we have to take care of it. As we take care of the sense of peace, life and peace within, that's paying attention to the sense of life. On the outline, Roman numeral 1 says, the scriptural basis for the sense of life, and letter A mentioned this, Romans 8:6. And letter B says, the sense of death is due to our mind in the flesh, while the sense of life and peace is due to our mind in the spirit. So here he gives us the opposite case. When we do not follow the sense of life, then there is a sense of death within. And then we know that something is wrong. And we right away should take care of it. An example of this, last week in New York City, a sister gave this testimony that I really liked. And this is the testimony. She likes to get up early in the morning and go for running. And she was running as she was listening to the hymns. She likes to listen to the hymns and enjoy the Lord as she's running. Wonderful. And then she felt that she had something in her pocket, something that was making some weird noise, something uncomfortable. And she put her hand in her pocket, and she had a candy wrapper. Maybe she put it there before. She didn't know. Whatever. She had a candy wrapper there, and it was just making that weird sound of the paper. So as she was running and she took it, she just threw it away and continued running. And then eventually she felt that the sense of life was not there anymore. She was not living. She was not, although she was listening to the hymns,
She was not enjoying the hymns as before. She noticed that something happened within her that was not at peace. It was what we call the sense of death. What is death? The absence of life. She was not living. So she was under a sense of death. But that's a good thing, because that is the voice of the Lord telling her that something was wrong. And she paid attention to it. And she prayed, "Oh Lord, what is this? Lord, deliver me from this feeling. I want to enjoy you." And then the Lord reminded her of the wrapper that she threw away in the park. And then she said, "Oh, is this, Lord? Oh, but that was 5 minutes ago. I will have to go back all the way." And as she is having this negotiation with the Lord, she's still advancing and getting further away from the place, until eventually she just gave up and said, "Okay, Lord." She went back and picked up the wrapper. And as she was going to do that, she was still negotiating with the Lord. "Lord, but if I go pick it up, it's probably many other wrappers around. What difference does it make?" But anyway, she finally gave in and went pick it up. And when she obeyed this feeling, oh, the peace came back. The peace came back, and she was living again. So this is just a simple example of how we pay attention to the sense of life. Sometimes we have the sense of death. But that is a good thing if we take care of it. We should never stay in that death situation. If we feel that way, it's because something is wrong. We got to fix it. It's like a red light in your car. You have a red light. I don't know much of mechanics, but if I have a red light, I know something is wrong, and I got to take it to someone to fix. Well, we can go directly to the Lord, and the Lord will fix it. The Lord will tell us, because this anointing within, it is true and is not a lie. Amen. Amen. Letter C. Can we read letter C? The brothers, can you help me with letter C, please? Lasciviousness, uncleanness. So all of these talk about sins, things that are not approved by God. And it's speaking that the Gentiles will do all of these things because they got into a condition that the Bible calls here past feeling. And that condition of past feeling is a condition of not caring for one's conscience. When you do not care for your conscience and take care of a problem, then we can get into this condition, past feeling. Meaning, don't feel anymore. It doesn't feel bad to do it anymore. We can get into that condition if we don't take care of it. The next letter brings a verse that it will make this point clearer. Can the sister read for me? Letter D. That is actually a verse, and it's quoted at Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:2. There it tells us, it uses the word branded. People that have been branded in their conscience as with a hot iron. You know, in the old times, and even today still, when people have a lot of cattle, they put their mark on it to know that they are their brand, they are the owners. And the way they do it is, normally, they use the initials of that person in an iron, and they put it on the fire until it gets red, hot, and then they take the animal and it marks it in there. It sears the skin of the animal there. It's branded with a hot iron. What that causes is that skin dies, and then you see the mark, but my point is that if you go and touch that part of the skin, the animal will not feel anything because that part of the skin is dead. So when we remain in a dead condition, this happens. When we fall into a condition of past feeling, not caring for our conscience, not repenting, not coming to the Lord to be cleansed by His blood, then we become in a condition of having a conscience that is branded as with a hot iron, meaning doesn't feel anything. So when you lie to your parents once, maybe you feel bad, but if you don't repent and do it again, Then you may justify it. Oh, it was better to say it that way. And then the third time, you probably do it inadvertently. And then the fourth and fifth time, it just became a habit. And you don't feel bad anymore. Oh, that's a terrible condition. Because we lose the voice of God. We lose the sense of life within us. So this is the tool that God has to bring us back to Him. So when we feel that way, it's not really a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. The Lord is calling us back. The Lord is bringing us back. And we must respond. We must come back to Him. Oh, come back to Him. He's our Father. He's our loving Father. And He wants us with us. Praise the Lord for the sense of life. It is by paying attention to the sense of life that we can have this personal relationship with the Lord. I will read letter E and I'll finish with this. Because our inner sense is stronger than that of the unbelievers due to the life within us and its sense, we must take care of this inner sense and keep it healthy and strong. Let us keep this inner sense healthy and strong by paying attention to the sense of life. To do these three things. One, knowing the sense of life. Two, developing the sense of life by obeying that sense. And number three, that we will live by the sense of life. This is equivalent to live by another life. Praise the Lord, we have an option. The unbelievers do not have an option but to live a life that is fallen. But we have an option. We have the life of God within us. Let us live by this new life. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know what, saints? I will follow the format that the brother has laid down concerning those three points. Yeah, to know the sense of life, to develop it, and to also live by it. And if you look at this whole pamphlet you have in your hand from the beginning, it says, God's eternal purpose being accomplished by way of life. How is it accomplished? God's eternal purpose. By way of life. Right. So, and this life has to grow. Right. And this life, we need to maintain it. And this brings in the matter of calling on the lost name. Right. You know, the brother made a very good example about babies. What do babies know how to do best? Cry. Then, what else?
Eh?
Chewing stuffs, I guess babies don't chew. They have no teeth too. You know what? They know how to eat. You don't need to teach them. You see, that's something that they are born with. And that mechanism is highly developed from the beginning. Yeah, when babies are born, well, those who are parents know that the baby is stunning. And turning to the mother's chest that I want to feed, I want to eat. But you know, they are handicapped. They cannot feed themselves. Yeah. They need somebody else to really feed them. Yeah. You see, but the life that we have received, we give us the sense of life and at the same time supplies us to meet the need of the sense of life that we have received. So it's not something that we can fulfill out of our natural self. Yeah. Once you sense something from the life you have received within, if you turn to that life, you live by that life, you will see that the Lord will meet that need. And then you will start to live a life that is fulfilling, that is joyful, yeah. A life that is glorious. You will be happy. Yeah, you will not be sad, right? It's so glorious. Let me repeat that statement I made initially, that babies, they know how to eat, but they can't feed themselves. But the life we have received can do everything for us. But we need to know how to obey, yeah, and just to live by that life. If we don't have that life, we cannot live by it. You cannot even know it. That was why I really like the format that Brother Osman has already laid for us. You know, when I was a little child, well, maybe even till now, they say, this is what a man looks like. Is this the way to draw it? Right. Right? You see, but look at the Bible. Look at what the Bible said about the man. Yeah, this is more accurate. Because it shows you the spirit, your soul, and your body. You see, before we were regenerated, you know, man was created pure. Right, the spirit was clear, ready to really receive God. But the enemy came and deadened man. And the spirit becomes deadened. Right. The soul is corrupted. And our body becomes a flesh. So, and the verse that you brought up, which is at the top of this lesson, it says, the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. But the mind set on the flesh is death. So, you see, when God came into us, as life, then we have a mingled spirit.
Right.
You see, when it's like you are a baby, and this life needs to grow, you see, then our mind is part of our soul. In fact, it's the leading part of our soul. So if you say your mind is your soul, it's just accurate because it represents your whole soul. So there's a battlefront here because our soul becomes a battlefield between God and our fallen body, right, which is the flesh. So if you set your mind on the mingled spirit, it's life and peace. Let me say this is our mind here, and this is our emotion, and this is our will, right. But the mind is a leading part of our soul, which is our person, which is our personality. So there are two actions which our mind can do. You see, this part is fallen, is the flesh. And it will remain with us until the Lord comes back. You see, let me ask you a question. Which two events in our Christian life happens within the twinkle of an eye? Which two events in our Christian life happens within the twinkle of an eye? How about regeneration? Do you have to make efforts? You just need to believe. And the Lord as the Spirit will just pierce into you.
Right.
If you open your mouth and say, Lord Jesus, what happens? He will just enter into you.
Right.
It happens within the twinkle of an eye. Somebody who looks down, look helpless, empty, just became joyful.
Amen.
Because God's life came in.
Amen.
Yeah, the deadened spirit is made alive. God comes in. You see, then the second event in our life is our flesh. And that is redemption of our flesh. And when the Lord comes back, within a twinkle of an eye, he will change our body of sin into a body of like his own. So this, you know, now you see my emphasis here is that our mind plays a very unique role. Whether you want to live by God's life, you have to set your mind on your mingled spirit. You see, so it means our mind can stray away. But remember our regeneration, God did not just give us himself as life in our spirit. He also gave us a new spirit and a new heart. So our spirit, a new spirit, right? And a new heart, right? So we have the choice to live by our mingled spirit. So it's really very, very critical that if we want to be happy, to stay joyful, whatever we set our mind on, makes a big difference,
right?
The mind set on the spirit is life. It means Now, if I set my mind on the mingled spirit, what happens is that my mind becomes life in my soul.
Amen.
So the Lord is having a way to infuse my being. Right away from my mingled spirit, He's spreading.
Amen.
And eventually will give life to my mortal body. But remember, our fallen flesh remains with us. So we are faced with two choices every day, wherever we go. Lord, I really want to live in this realm, right? In the realm of the spirit of life, so that the Lord can have a way to fulfill his heart desire in me.
Amen.
You see, if the life we have received from the Lord does not grow, I told you from the beginning, he said God's eternal purpose is accomplished by what way? Is everybody sleeping? Look at the message one and see the title. How is it accomplished? By way of life. Then the second one is by growth of life. So if the life we have received from the Lord does not grow, it means that sense of life will not be very keen. It will not be strong. The more God's life grows in us, the more our sense of life will be very strong. Right? Even before we enter a place, the Lord will have spoken to you and you feel the sense of life that I don't belong there. If you disobey the sense of life, then you just stray into death. Then you feel very unhappy and you have no way to go on. Somebody who is very victorious, very happy, it takes just a little bit for you to tip over. So that's why the matter of calling on the Lord's name to enjoy him so that his life can grow in us. Right? He cannot remain like a babe in our being. He needs to spread out from our spirit into our soul. Right? Then let's turn to the outline and cover the rest of the outline. This is message 6. Number 2, sisters, Romans 2. Brothers, A.
The sense of life is produced from the things we have gained through regeneration, the life of God, the law of life, the Holy Spirit, Christ, and God, all of us have a feeling in which we all have the sense of life.
Amen. How about a B for sisters? We all can testify that we have received God's life. And sometimes, somewhere along the line, we have sensed something that came from this life, some feelings. Right? That is our experience. Because this conference, this Summer School of Truth, is not just about receiving doctrine that we have God's life, but it's also much more about how to experience this life. If you start experiencing God's life from now on, believe me, you have a bright future. The Lord has a way to gain you for his heart desire.
Right.
It's okay to be brilliant students in school. Even if you want to do well in your academics in school, you need God's life. Right. There's wisdom in God's life. Every positive thing to go on in life is in this life. So how much we really need to turn to him. Right? How about see together? The Holy Spirit as ointment is anointing and moving within us. Christ is living in us, captivity, and God is working in us. They are not quiet and motionless. Therefore, they all cause us to have feelings. Amen. Christ is living in us. The anointing also moving in us. And God is working in us. This means we should have some feelings. We should have some feelings from this life. We should have some sense of life that gives us feelings. And if we obey, you will see that you will be victorious in your Christian life. Right. How about three together? The function of the sense of life. As brothers, A. Living in the natural life, or in the life of the spirit, in the flesh, or in the spirit, you may be. The sense of death quite help us too, right? Because it puts you in such a miserable situation. But you need to yield, to obey, and know that, hey, you are in the red zone. You cannot continue to live here. That you need a transfer to the divine mystical realm. You need to exercise your spirit. You need to call on the Lord's name stronger. Right, so that you can get a leading of what to do from the Lord. Then how about C? The following contrasts the sense of death. Amen. The sense of life and peace. Strong, satisfied, lively, bright, at ease, comfortable. Who doesn't want to be strong? Yeah, when people see you, not strong just in an outward way, but they will see that something of Christ is flowing out from you, right? Satisfied. In the midst of all the troubles going around, people are killing, wars are here and there. There is unrest in school and everywhere. But they just see that, why are you satisfied? Yeah, we have something much more. Right, in our being. Then lively, bright, and at ease. Then the sense of death, weakness, empty, feeling kind of very low, dark, restless, in pain. Whenever we feel strong, satisfied, lively, bright, and at ease, we have an inward proof that we are right before God and that we are living. We are living at the spirit. If we sense death, we need to repent. Turn to the Lord and confess to him. Then his blood will cleanse us, and the result will be the sense of life and peace. Sisters, can you declare E? Brothers, E.
If we sense death, we need to repent, turn to the Lord, and confess to him. Then his blood will cleanse us, and the result will be the sense of life and peace.
Together. If we sense death, we need to repent, turn to the Lord, and confess to him. Then his blood will cleanse us. And the result will be the sense of life and peace. Amen.
Let's have some prayer with your neighbor. The sense of life, outline 6.